How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we all know what day today is. Election day here in our country. Always an important time in our country, regardless of which way you lean, to get out, exercise your right to vote, and make your voice heard. But it's also, Porth, a very important time in Titans Nation. 5-2 on the season. Lots of problems defensively. It's time for us to come up with a solution. And Joe and I, we feel like we have that solution.
Yes. So it is now time for the state of the Tennessee Titans defense. Coming to you live from the campus of 102.5 The Game. This is the debate between Robbie Stanley, representing the bald and bearded party that is tired of watching the bald and bearded Jonathan Joseph fail to cover opposing receivers.
Amen.
Ooh.
And the party that Joe Rexrode represents is the middle-aged coffee addicts that would just like to get an answer out of a head coach at a press conference.
Amen.
Each candidate will get 2 minutes uninterrupted to state their case for how they plan to fix the Titans' defense before they go toe-to-toe. And yes, I do have a mute button for if either candidate interrupts the other within those 2 minutes. So first, let's start with Robbie Stanley. Robbie, how do you plan to fix the Titans' defense if we were to put you in the shoes of the defensive coordinator, which they don't currently have?
This is a time where we're all looking for guidance here in this country. We all need some direction here in our lives. And in my first act as president over this Titans' defense, I'm going to take Vic Beasley, put him in my car, drive him to the McDonald's parking lot in Atlanta, Georgia, and leave him there. I'm going to send him inside to get the order. I'm going to leave him there and drive my happy self back to Nashville. He can use the money that he is fleecing away from the Tennessee Titans and Uber his way back to Nashville if he chooses to do so. My guess is probably wouldn't choose to do so at this point. He looks like he has no interest in being there whatsoever. So my first act of business as Titans president, I'm taking Vic Beasley to the McDonald's parking lot in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're leaving him there. And look, this is a leaderless army right now. This is a captain without a ship. This is a Robin without a Batman. There's no direction. There is no coordination whatsoever. There is no Secretary of Defense. I'm naming myself defensive coordinator. There needs to be somebody in charge of this. There needs to be a leader somewhere along the line. Right now, there's no accountability. There's nobody holding each other accountable in that locker room right there. There's got to be a coordination from top to bottom somewhere with somebody there to answer the hard questions, with somebody there to get the job done and fix it. That's going to be me, Robbie Stanley, as the defensive coordinator. It's a very important time for Titans Nation. Things have started off really well this year, but defensively they have crept up with so many problems that it's bringing the whole ship down. You need a leader that isn't afraid to take risk, and as our good friend out east Jeremy Pruitt says, it's time to move forward.
All right, your time is up there, Robbie Stanley. Joe Rexrode, if you were the Titans president or defensive coordinator or secretary of defense, how would you, one columnist of The Athletic and co-host of Robbie and Rexrode, fix the Titans defense?
Yeah, so my understanding is we are running for the president of the Titans defense, right?
That's correct.
Yes. All right, well, if elected, I will chip into the outrageous third down deficit that my predecessor has allowed to pile up. I will get this defense, my predecessor, who's unnamed, by the way, I will get this defense from 62.5% down to 35%. That's right, 35% by the end of the year. That is a guarantee. Politicians never don't come through on their guarantees. I promise you that number. That'll absolutely happen. Don't ask me the math on how we'll get there. We'll get there by working together on both sides of the – I mean, on all levels of the defense. We will work with our pass rushers to rush better. We will set the edge. We will take good tackling angles. We will stop playing 12 yards off receivers on third and four. I will take over the play calling on game days, and the play calling will get better. Mike Vrabel will be so impressed he will forget he even has veto power over my play calls. I will call the most amazing of blitzes. I will send linebackers. I will send cornerbacks. I will send safeties. I will have them twisting and stunting and disguising and finishing. I will have Dean Pease calling me and saying, "Coach Rexrode, you're amazing. How did you do that? Can you send me a graph or a chart so I can study this and enjoy this and read it over and over, hour after hour?" I will inspire and motivate. I will make Kevin Byard great again. I will make it so Jeffrey Simmons must be triple teamed, not just double teamed. I will have Jadeveon Clowney in the backfield, and he will actually tackle people. He will tackle them, and he will thank me and call me the greatest Tennessee Titans offensive president ever. Also, Jonathan Joseph, Vic Beasley, you're fired. That's all I got.
All right. So Joe Rexrode, Robbie, says that he can get the defense of third down conversion rate down from 62% to 35%. How would you respond to that?
Well, my question to my opposition here would be, what sort of plan do you have to do that? Are you going to build a wall on defense? Is there some sort of wall that will be constructed? What experience do you have building a wall? Because right now, that's what you're going to have to do on defense to turn this thing around. And how gifted are you in construction of walls? That would be my question to you. I, myself, very gifted in construction. I have experience in this field. My colleague over here, Joe Rexrode, does not. So how do you anticipate getting this percentage down? Would be my question.
I absolutely have no answer. I'm just telling you that I'm getting it to 35%. But I like the wall thing. This is completely off the rails now. I don't have a response for that.
I just won.
You just won the debate. I didn't know we were having a debate. Look at Porthy. He's like, what are you doing? I have no answers for this defense.
Wow. This is the greatest debate ever.
Now,
Dude,
Joe, do you have a solution for the fact that the pass rush cannot get to the quarterback? The fact that they just faced the Cincinnati Bengals, who give up the most sacks in the National Football League going into last week.
You said you were going to blitz. You got to follow through.
They could not even sniff Joe Burrow's jock on Sunday. They didn't even get a sack. This pass rush is abysmal. How do you plan on actually getting to the quarterback instead of just throwing the kitchen sink at him?
You've got to coordinate. You've got to coordinate things. You've got to have people who play better individually. You've got to have coaches who work better on a daily basis, and you've got to perform better.
What you've got to have is a master motivator. And that's where I feel like I come into play here. I can motivate these guys. Vic Beasley looks like he would rather be shopping through the aisles of a Kroger right now than being on the field and playing football. He just needs a guy that connects with him, a guy that can sit in there, speak with him, get on the same level, and bring the best out of Vic Beasley. I feel like I'm the guy to do that.
And so wait a minute. Hold on.
Him to the McDonald's parking lot.
Yeah, you just said you're taking him to McDonald's in Atlanta.
You have to capture his attention. You're
changing your story.
I'm not changing my story. When would a politician ever change their story, Joe? This is ridiculous. What a ridiculous assertion on your part.
That's an incredible turnaround from 90 seconds ago.
Well, that's what we're here for, is an incredible turnaround with this defense, and that's what I'm aiming for. And in order to do that, sometimes drastic measures have to be taken. I'm taking him to the McDonald's parking lot, getting his attention. When he Ubers back to Nashville, that's when we have this productive conversation, this motivational conversation. Vic Beasley, when I'm in charge, 7 sacks coming down the pipe the rest of the season.
Wow. So 7. You think he'll come back?
Oh, he'll come back.
You think that he'll actually pay for his own way to come back into town?
He has more than enough money to Uber his way back into town.
So 7 sacks for Vic Beasley versus the Titans ending up with 35% third down defense.
I guess the next question there, Joe, is that Robbie can get, he's guaranteeing the nation 7 sacks from Vic Beasley. I mean,
after my interference,
how can you follow that up, Joe? How can you guarantee to the nation that Vic Beasley can maybe even get more than 7 sacks?
Well, I won't, because I fired Vic Beasley. I'm sticking with my campaign promises, okay? I fired Vic Beasley. I fired Jonathan Joseph. Nice guys. They seem to, they wanted to get things done. They tried to reach out and they've tried to work and make themselves a part of this team. But look, we've got to look elsewhere. The cabinet needs some fresh blood. So I will, though, get Jadeveon Clowney to 8 sacks. How about that?
Wow.
I'll get 8 sacks out of Jadeveon Clowney because we're going to go out today and we're going to bring in some new people for this defense. As president of this defense, I promise you, I am not standing pat with the personnel. I am bringing in new people. So that means that I have to convince the general manager to do something. But as president of this defense, I think that I have that kind of influence on people.
Okay. I like that. Fourth, do you have any other questions for me?
I mean, Robbie, are you going to bring in new people? I mean, you've guaranteed Vic Beasley would get 7 sacks. Joe says Clowney will get 8 under his direction as president of the Titans defense. How are you going to bolster that pass rush outside of just Vic Beasley?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think when you got to take stock, and it's about quality over quantity, right? Quality over quantity. I don't think this defense needs a total overhaul. I don't think there's many guys out there available that you can just go pluck and Joe throw out his wishful thinking of wanting to bring people in and bring them along. I think people are tired of wishful thinking. They're here for actual results. So I think you have to work with what you have. You got to meet on both sides of the aisle, bring people along with you. That's what I'm going to do. You can go out and do all these fancy things all you want to, get pass rushers from other teams that nobody wants, that haven't been productive, that have no track record of success. You can do that all day long, and that's fine. That sounds great. That's fancy. But my strategy is let's work with the proven guys that we have here who have not lived up to their potential so far and bring the best out of them. That's the strategy I'm going to approach rather than just abandoning the whole process.
So when Vic Beasley is in that Uber home and he's got like a McMuffin, he's going to that's going to turn him into a better player?
You ever heard of a light bulb coming on? Sometimes extreme measures have to be taken.
The hash brown light bulb going on for Vic Beasley.
There have been way less effective strategies tried.
Sometimes you need new blood. You just do. And as president of this defense, I'm all for, again, I talked about Kevin Byard. You know, Jayon Brown's going to play better. Rashawn Evans is going to play better. The people we know can play, we're going to get them to play better. But sometimes you have to put new people in. And, by the way, I do want to go to social media right now to say that Kim Dunaway is asking who the third-party candidate for DC is. She's not impressed. It's actually DP, defensive
we're
president.
Defensive president.
Is there a third-party candidate?
No. This is the two options that you have.
It's Robbie Stanley. It's Joe Rexrode. Here ends the debate. I have to go with Joe.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Ooh,
this is atrocious.
I think Joe just won that debate.
This is atrocious.
Because not only did he say, you fired, to Vic Beasley and Jonathan Joseph, here which I can get behind, but also Clowney 8 sacks, and he said he would make Kevin Byard great again.
He also said he conceded defeat to me in victory in this debate. I'm just going to gloss over that.
I was a little bit unprepared for the format of the debate, but I think the moderator has been fair and also accurate in assessing this. Listen, I like the idea of Vic Beasley going to a McDonald's in Atlanta, but I think it's a little bit extreme. You got to work within the confines of what we're talking about here. Also, middle-aged coffee addicts. You said that right. So maca, okay.
Wow, very nice. Bob on Twitter tweets in, 7 sacks from Beasley, the worst political lie in the history of the world. Have I committed the worst political lie in the history of the world in one segment?
I mean, that's the
impressive
thing. Like, I mean, my number was ridiculous, okay? They're not getting down to 35%, but 7 sacks, like, no one's going to believe you. You know?
And you think people are going to be like, yeah, 35%, that'll work.
Well, I thought I tried to sell it, you know? I sold it. You got to sell it. You got to spin it. You got to sell it.
I gave you the strategy of how this is going to happen. You can choose what you want to do with that strategy.
I mean, I won the debate, but honestly, I kind of like your strategy. Like, I will bring you in as my vice president. Will that make you happy?
Sure.
Okay. You're DVP.
Never wanted to be anything more in my entire life. When we come back, we'll discuss the move the Titans made yesterday, bringing in a player from the outside. Are they done with the NFL trading deadline today at 3 p.m. Central Time? That's next. This is Robbie and Rexrode on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. I enjoyed our presidential debate in the last segment. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, best debate I've heard in 2020. But I need a third-party fan idea. A lot of third-party love coming in today.
We let each other speak, so that was good.
A texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, Joe, you win, but I vote for Pedro. Nice Napoleon Dynamite reference there.
That's very good. Nice.
I can't believe that multiple people are claiming you're the winner of this debate. I made a wall joke.
I mean, no, that was good. That was very good. And I wasn't prepared for the debate, even the format we had. I wasn't prepared for it, and yet I still rebounded. I'm pretty proud of myself. I'm pretty amazing.
Yes, you are. You're awesome.
You are pretty amazing, Joe.
Thank you. Yes.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD text in, wants to know, what party is the preference of Vic Beasley? Because right now he is a member of the Green Party, talking about the money he's stealing from the Titans.
Okay.
Oh, boy. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's very good.
That's a good one.
Misappropriation of funds have happened at the Titans headquarters.
We had a former producer here at 102.5 The Game who would have called Vic Beasley a ski mask all-star.
Yes.
For stealing money.
Yes.
That's a pretty good term.
In all seriousness, it has been pretty incredible, like, the way that this has played out for him, of not coming to training camp on time, not being a factor in training camp whatsoever, finally getting onto the field, and then has brought absolutely nothing to the table and is getting paid $9 million to do it. That's fun.
Yeah, you know, and there was some questions. I asked Vrabel a question about Beasley. I think he got asked probably maybe three or four questions about Beasley yesterday, because I think those are the two guys. The two guys I fired are the two guys who, probably for very different reasons, should not be on the field much for this defense moving forward if the Titans can help it. You know, I don't know if Beasley is just kind of done. His career has gone pretty precipitously downward since that monster rookie year at Atlanta, and this is exactly why a lot of people were scared from him, away from him, right? And
yeah.
Also, why... I mean, the Titans, it was surprising when they signed him. He's young enough, and you would think if you've done it, you've done what you've done, like there's some talent in there, right, to be able to do it. But for whatever reason, it's not working out. Now, he had a knee injury, so you still have to keep that in mind. But he just doesn't look like a guy who makes any kind of impact. Joseph is a guy who's been a good player in this league for a long time, and he's older now. And I just don't think he can do it anymore.
Right.
You know? He probably is giving you everything he can give you, and it's just not enough. I just don't know if Beasley even – the whole question about do you want to play this game. I mean, at this point, I mean, Vrabel, no surprise at all. He's not saying anything about it, you know. I mean, he's basically talking about like he's practicing well, which that's great. And, I mean, that's how you make decisions as a coach on who's going to play. But then after game after game after game of nothing, then you have to go with that over the practice stuff, right?
Yeah, and that goes back to our poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. On this election day, who would you rather vote off the Titans defense? Would it be Vic Beasley or Jonathan Joseph? So far, 229 votes in. Jonathan Joseph receiving 54% of the vote. Vic Beasley at 46%. So a very close race on who Titans fans would rather vote off of the defense between Vic Beasley and Jonathan Joseph.
How many fans are voting for that, thinking like a GM, which is, well, paying this guy a whole bunch of money and, you know, you got to try to ride it out a little bit longer when you pay that much. Also, it makes sense actually to vote for Joseph because there's alternative. You just brought in Desmond King. Adoree Jackson's coming back. You can vote him off the island, and you have players. That's the problem with the Titans right now is if Beasley's not part of this defense, you have Clowney, you have Landry, and I guess you have Derek Roberson.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about it like a GM, that is the right call, is to vote Joseph out,
and
even though Beasley's been the bigger problem.
And you mentioned Desmond King coming in from the L.A. Chargers. Titans trade a 6th-round pick in 2021 to L.A. for Desmond King. He comes in a former All-Pro in 2018 at the nickel position, also a second-team All-Pro as a punt returner. Just did not work out for him in L.A. the last couple of years. He was unhappy, wasn't getting the playing time he felt like he deserved. So hopefully a fresh start for him here with the Titans. Mike Vrabel was asked yesterday, why go out and get Desmond King from the Chargers? Here's what Vrabel had to say.
What were some of the things that stood out to you as far as why you wanted to go out and get him to help this defense?
Well, John and I had talked, and you know, it was a player that we felt like, you know, could help us, that could come in and has played DB, has been disruptive, has been effective blitzer, and has done some things. And we'll see where he's at when he gets here. He's going to be away from the building for a while, going through protocol. So, you know, we won't know much until, you know, much later on in the week. Not even assuming that he'll be able to practice with us before Saturday. So everything that we've heard, that is a player that loves football, that's competitive, has played a number of different spots, played in the kicking game.
So that's Mike Vrabel yesterday talking about the addition of Desmond King. As you evaluate this move, Joe, what stands out to you about Desmond King in particular, and were you surprised that the secondary was the route that John Robinson chose to go yesterday first?
Well, I think it's a great value on the deal, and we don't have all the information either. We don't have all the information on, like, Adoree Jackson. You know, he's been designated for return. This will be the third week, in which we would have to return this week, but it's certainly a big part of the puzzle, and you got a guy who's been a very good player in this league for a pretty cheap price. So I'm not shocked that they got a corner. If that was the only move they made, I would not have picked that as my number one most likely move. Problem is, that's the problem in this league. You can find corners in this league, and you can find a lot of positions in this league. Everybody is looking for a pass rusher, and a lot of teams don't have any or don't have anyone very good, and it's really hard to find them. And the Titans, of course, invested a whole bunch of money in two people who haven't given them anything. But I still think that's something to look at today, and I'm still on the offensive tackle train too, if you can at least a depth piece there.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michael from Madison texts in, if we beat the Bengals yesterday, do you think we would have traded for Desmond King? And does this mean that J-Rob is more willing to make another move or two before today's deadline?
That's a good question. I don't know, but had they looked okay and won the game yesterday? Are they as eager to go make a deal like that? I mean, you're basing your decisions like this on what you see on the field. So Vrabel, as a coach, he's got daily practice, film, and all this stuff, and you're making decisions. The GM's watching on game day and saying, that guy's either doing it or not doing it. But Jonathan Joseph has struggled all year. When they were winning, he was struggling.
Like, even if the offense finds a way to come back and win that game yesterday, like, based on what you've seen defensively at this point through seven games, don't you feel like you kind of have to do something if you're John Robinson? Regardless of whether it's on the pass rush or in the secondary, both have struggled so mightily up until this point. Like, you feel like you have to address that defense in some form or fashion if this team has any shot to win down the stretch.
Right. If you go for it like you did with the money you paid Beasley and Clowney, then I don't think you decide to stop going for it when you're 5-2. And you didn't think that he would make a deal, and Chase said that. And I wouldn't have been surprised if he didn't do anything, because he's never done it. But this would certainly be the year to do it when you're going for it, when you're 5-2. It's the best record they've had at this stage of the season in Robinson's tenure. And also, this league, I mean, look around. There's, like, more and more teams that are out there trying to do something at the training deadline. I think way more than there were even, like, 5 years ago. So you're seeing the Ravens out there picking people up, and other teams in the AFC. You know, the Steelers are out there getting Avery Williamson from the Jets. I mean, you're seeing these other contenders trying to get players. I mean, how do you just stand pat? You stand pat if you can't find a good deal. But Desmond King, I think that's a pretty good risk based on all this stuff that's happened with him with the Chargers for a 6th-round pick. He's a talented player.
Now, we've heard Daniel Popper with Jared and the GM yesterday talk about maybe some off-the-field concerns in terms of being late to practices every now and again, taking his frustration with the coaching staff to social media and talking about it there. Would that be a concern in your mind of bringing him in here to this group, given the way that things ended for him in L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those, I think, like, with Beasley a little bit too, and that hasn't worked out, but Vrabel, I think, has a lot of confidence in the work environment he's put together, the accountability that's already in the locker room, that there's good leaders in the locker room. And I think there is something for sure to the idea of just fresh start for players sometimes, and just go. I know Desmond King, there's been some reaction on Twitter. He had something like this at Iowa, too, late in his tenure there. So, you know, maybe he's an emotional guy, and he needs to control that better and things like that. But I think there's a lot of confidence for Mike Vrabel that they've got a place here, that a locker room you can come in, and a guy like that will, I guess, for lack of a better term, fall in line.
When we come back, are the Titans truly contenders for the Super Bowl this season? An interesting question. We'll debate that on the other side. Also, get your reaction as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth spinning some tunes today back there. You're proud of yourself for this, aren't you?
Some American tunes back there.
Just the grin he has on his face coming back for every break with this American music he's choosing.
That's a good jam.
Yeah. He feels very proud of himself.
Got some CCR lined up at all?
He doesn't know
who's
what
CCR?
That is.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Wow.
Very good. Very good.
I grew up on CCR.
I am shocked.
Great band.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. My parents had like the greatest hits of CCR CD in the car.
The double CD?
I believe so.
I think, yes. I know exactly the CD
you were raised the right
about.
Way.
Yes.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Got some relevant tunes.
They do. No question about it. So, Joe, we threw out the question before the break. Titans right now 5-2 on the season through seven games. They sit in first place in the AFC South, technically tied with the Indianapolis Colts at 5-2. The Titans have the tiebreaker, by the way, with the better conference record so far. So in case you want to get all technical about that, the Titans are in first place right now in the AFC South. But as you evaluate them as a whole, when you look at the entire body of work right now, Joe, would you consider the Titans a legitimate Super Bowl threat in the AFC?
Well, I don't. Does the body of work matter, or does the what they can be moving forward matter? I mean, the body of
well,
work.
I'd say both.
Yeah, well, the body of work's giving them a chance. The body of work is 5-2, so they got a chance because they were 5-2. Does the body of work say that is a Super Bowl contender? At times, they've looked like it. I think quite a bit on offense they've looked like it. You know, it comes back to the defense finding some way to be half decent, because it's not even half decent right now. And that's really been, other than forcing some turnovers, you know, some timely plays, trying to think of this whole, the seven games till now, how many times has the defense actually stepped up and contributed to this 5-2 record? At the end of the Minnesota game, they got after Cousins.
They're okay, I guess, in the Denver game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, Denver didn't do much.
Right.
In that game, they looked like an okay defense, like about what we thought they'd be, really. But how much, I don't know. That game seems months ago, and first game after no preseason, all that stuff. But you're right. I mean, you gotta count that, I guess. I mean, it's gotten progressively worse is the problem.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting worse on defense. And the low point of that defense was just this last week. Well, they hope it's the low point. So they look less and less like a contender until they can either fix it. It's got to be fixed with some different people on the field, I think. So we know one coming in, and we know one who should be out there soon, and that should help. And I still have to wonder. I don't see how they're a contender. I don't think anyone's a contender. Even so-so defensive teams who have gotten a Super Bowl have been able to get to the quarterback to some extent. I mean, you're talking about a team on pace for 16 sacks and not pressuring the quarterback. If you can't figure out a way to pressure quarterbacks, like, how are you going to beat these top teams in January in the AFC?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think when you think about whether or not the Titans are Super Bowl contenders, you've heard a lot of people this year kind of toss out the theory of, all right, well, offense league-wide is just up this year. The numbers are up. The quarterback efficiency right now is at an all-time high in the NFL. I think I saw a stat the other day where, like, quarterbacks are completing, like, like 63% of their balls or something crazy as a whole league average this year, which is just incredible to think about. And you factor that in with, you know, just the COVID and everything that's gone on with that and how difficult it's been seemingly for teams to have a good defense this year. Like, think about around the league. Like, how many good defenses would you consider there are this year in the NFL? I mean, there's not many. Pittsburgh, I think Baltimore's got a pretty good defense. Quite frankly, I think Kansas City's got a pretty good defense. And what's the problem with those three teams? All three of them are in the way of your team if you're a Titans fan. And that, to me, right now, is the difference. I will say that offensively, I think the Titans have a capability of, if they get hot and if they play up to their standard and up to their capability, they can score with anyone in this league. I mean, with the possible exception of Kansas City when they're on, because they're just a different level of freakish athleticism with Mahomes out there. But I think absolutely, with when Ryan Tannehill's at the top of his game, when Derrick Henry's at the top of his game, and this offense is clicking like it has been for the most part this year, they have a Super Bowl caliber offense. Maybe even without Taylor Lewan, they have a Super Bowl caliber offense.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's the thing. We still have to see. We have to see this offense be that without him. We haven't seen it yet. Now, they played a great defense. I mean, relative to this year, great defense in Pittsburgh. Didn't look like it. But then they played a bad defense in Cincinnati and got 20 points. Now, you can go through the whole game, and I think the defense was the biggest problem there. But I think Ryan Tannehill also took a step back in that game. It was probably just because of that one pick that was just an awful pick. It was probably his worst game as a starting quarterback of the Titans. It wasn't – he had bigger numbers in the, you know, than like in the playoff games, but he would played better in those games. So if they can be that, then, yeah, that gives them a chance to outscore these teams. You mentioned those other teams with good defenses. I would put the Colts there too.
Yeah.
And the Colts have a clearly better defense than the Titans. So
they do. Now, I would say their offense also is not on the same level of those other three teams I just mentioned.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But all of a sudden, the AFC South looks up for grabs, and it didn't a couple weeks ago. That's how quickly things can change. I mean, the Titans, the question is, like, are there actually answers for them to find? Are there big jumps in performance with some of the guys? You're not going to trade for, like, six guys, you know? You might be able to bring in another guy or two, but you got to have a whole bunch of people just performing better in the defense, which comes back around to the whole question of how much of a step down from Dean Pease to what they're doing now has this been?
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says they are not contenders, only pretenders. You can't win a Super Bowl with that kind of defense in week 8. It's too late right now to fix it. Do you think it's too late for the Titans to fix this defense and get back into that category of being a true Super Bowl contender?
Well, what does fix mean? I mean, it's definitely too late to turn it into the 85 Bears. I mean, it's not going to be a great defense, but I've stuck with this all along, and I'll stick with it now. If they can be average on defense, then I think they can go into the tournament and have a chance to beat people and make a run. So is it too late for them to be average on defense? I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either, but I'm starting to lose hope on that front. I really am, because it's third. I mean, the third down defense, at first it was funny because it was just so statistically odd that you knew, like, or you figured at some point that's going to come down. And it was just been a really bad stretch of luck and play on third down. You know, we're 7 games in now, and they're 62.5%. At some point, that's not bad luck. You're just that bad on defense. The pass rush, like you said, they're on pace for 16 sacks. At some point, that's not bad luck. That's just you suck at getting to the quarterback. And I don't know how much of that is going to change over the course of the next 8-9 weeks here for the Titans. To your point, I don't think they have to get to this, you know, this top 10 or top 5 level in the league in terms of their defense. They have to get to where they are a threat to get to the quarterback. They are a threat in the secondary to take the ball away from you and to cover the receiver for longer than a second and a half. That's got to happen at some point. But right now, I'm losing hope, especially on the line with the pass rush, that that's ever going to be a factor this year. I just am. I don't know how you could look at it and really feel great about it getting to that point
right now. Short of a move, which they could make, which I don't think there's any move John Robinson could make today that you would say, man, that is going to do it. That guy is – I mean, he's not going to get J.J. Watt. And frankly, even if he got J.J. Watt, J.J. Watt is not the same player he was a few years ago. J.J. Watt would certainly make you feel better, but I'm just saying there's not a trade piece out there on the block from teams who are selling that you're going to bring in and be like, that is going to turn everything around. But he could bring in somebody that could help. Short of that, it really comes down to, are there people right now who are performing so below their level that they can turn it around? And I mean, Clowney is still, like, you got to look at him. I think Landry is kind of what he is. He's a good player. He works his butt off, and he'll get you a few sacks. He'll get you some pressure. But Clowney is still the guy I look at, and that's why I just look at Clowney and Beasley so differently. I know Stillman just goes nuts about this. I mean, he wants Clowney, like, to never play in the league again because he wants to be right about screaming about Clowney in the preseason. But Beasley is a much bigger problem, and just I see nothing there that suggests that – he's going to make a difference. Clowney, I still think could. I'm not saying I'm optimistic he will, but you have to keep running him out there and hoping he gets home, gets healthier with his knee, whatever it is, figures out how to, when you have a quarterback, I mean, he came through the A gap the other day, and it's like, you got the easiest sack in the world right there for you. You know? I mean, that's got to be a key here moving forward, is just Clowney getting better. I understand people not being excited about that, but I don't have a better – they don't have anyone up front to help Jeffrey Simmons who's going to make any kind of impact right now. You got to have Rashawn Evans play better. You got to stop the run better. A lot of individual players, I think, are definitely not performing at near their peak.
Let's go to Twitter. W.L. Hardesty tweets in, the fact our offense puts up so many points and we only just squeaked out most of those wins is extremely telling. Our defense spends too much time on the field, basically just running the clock down before our opponent gets points. If it weren't for turnovers, we'd be 2-5. It's hard to argue with a lot of those points that WL makes there.
Except I'm going to tell you, if it weren't for turnovers, okay, well, if it weren't for, like, scoring more points, we'd be this or that, right? Turnovers are part of the game. And usually turnovers are at least somewhat indicative of doing something good on defense, too. Sometimes you luck into turnovers, but – I mean, you take those turnovers and you take the W's you can get. I don't disagree that it's troubling. Again, like the Jacksonville game, you had to have Tannehill and Gostkowski be heroes at home against that team.
Right.
Minnesota, yeah, well, I don't know. Minnesota is an interesting team. They're talented. It's a tough league. Everybody's talented. Joe Burrow's talented. He's great. He's going to be a great player in this league. But still, that defense, like that offensive line, that's ridiculous.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion. Are the Titans Super Bowl pretenders? What do they have to do to get back into the contender status in your mind? Let us know, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025, The Game.
We're at the halfway point in the NFL season, and after Week 8, Dan Orlovsky, which team is in the most trouble with what you saw?
Yeah, it's got to be the Tennessee Titans. We know that their offense is really good. You know, Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown, like, they got really good pieces on offense. But their defense is struggling, and it's really because their front. They went out and spent money on two big free agent signings, Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney. They have zero sacks combined. I mean, they have spent and invested way too much money in those two players to be having as little impact as they're having, because their secondary is not playing great, and they're not, and they got to get healthy back there. But when your front can't generate any pressure, everyone on your defense suffers. And I don't care how good your offense is. It reminds me a little bit of like the Chiefs last year, midway through the season, we're going, their defense can't get off the field. Their defense line's not good enough. Now, I don't think they can turn it around like the Chiefs did, because they don't have the special playmakers on the back end. But if those guys rush a little bit better, it'll help. But those two players have to play better, and it just concerns me that they can't get any stops on defense.
That was Dan Orlovsky on NFL Live talking about the Titans' defensive struggles so far in the NFL season. Friend of the show, Dan Orlovsky. Enjoyed having him on the program last week. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, what do you make of the comparison that Orlovsky threw out there to the Chiefs from last year, where the offense looks pretty good, but the defense cannot get off the field at this point in the season?
Remind me on the Chiefs, because they certainly got better, but did they get someone back? They get someone healthy who was hurt early in the year?
I can't remember. I don't think so. I think they just figured it out.
Just figured it out.
And Mahomes started putting up 42 a game.
Yeah, that's the thing. They, first of all, have a bigger margin for error, okay? I mean, they just do. And, I mean, Chris Jones, you know, they got, now the Titans have Jeffrey Simmons, but Chris Jones is a big-time player.
I mean, just think about the playoffs, too. I mean, they were down 24 to nothing to Houston in the divisional round.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so it's not like the defense was out there just stifling people.
No, not at all. Just doing enough. And the defense was getting just shredded in the Super Bowl. And then got some big-time stops for sure. I mean, Jimmy G missed some passes that were there for him. Because, you know, that's really, you could point to just a couple plays by him that if he just makes the right pass, the Chiefs don't win. But, yeah, I don't know about the comparison. You know, they have better edge guys for sure. They had last year. I mean, Frank Clark for them is a guy you have to count for, who the Titans right now don't have a guy like that, you know?
Yeah.
And even again, some of these teams, like the Giants, weren't a good defense the year that they shocked the Patriots, but they had guys who get after the quarterback. And the Titans right now don't. So will they? I mean, who is it? Again, I think it's got to be Clowney, at least a big part of it. I mean, Landry, I think, can give you something. But if there's not a new face out there, then how do you make it better? Certainly, if you cover better, that should help. And then can guys play better?
Yeah.
Byard play better? I mean, stop the run. You know, I mean, Vrabel was talking yesterday. I mean, he was, like, talking basically about, like there, we'd make some good plays on defense. Like, no one's saying that every single play you give up 15 yards. But that's how what they've been reduced to is, like, we actually, on some snaps, play well.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, do you guys see any Pro Bowl-esque type players on this defense? Kevin Byard went into the season as one, but now I'm not so sure. You see anybody on this team right now that's
On the defense.
Bowl, on defense. It's in Pro Bowl conversation.
I think Jeffrey Simmons at times has played like that kind of guy. He didn't play like that this last week. I mean, he didn't have an impact on the game. Even if he's attracting two blockers, and again, some of that is like, okay, then who else is going to make the play here? No one does. Yeah, Byard, again, this is the first time Byard's ever been on a bad defense. He's been on four good defenses with Dick LeBeau for 2 years and with Dean Pease for 2 years. And not perfect defenses. They all struggled to some extent to get pass rush. I mean, Arakpo, when he was healthy, could give him that. But whatever it was, Byard was a ball hawk playmaker. And now in this defense, he's just trying to make up for other people's mistakes. I'm not giving him a pass. I don't think he's played well. He's made some plays out there that you're surprised to see.
He's been pretty poor in the running game. Some of the angles he's taken just leave you scratching your head like, dude, what are you doing out there? It's been very uncharacteristic of him.
Yeah, and in coverage, you know, he's gotten beat sometimes. Everybody gets beat some, but he hasn't played like a Pro Bowler. I still think he's a Pro Bowl caliber player.
Yeah.
I think we're – again, without just totally giving him a pass here, but I think that what you're seeing is, you know, if everything around you is struggling to the extent it is, that's going to affect your game too. I can't think of anybody else. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons would be the only guy who right now. Vaccaro, I still think is playing pretty well. I think he's a really good safety. But, again, those guys are right now in such a bind with everything going on in front of them.
I feel like they have multiple Pro Bowl caliber players on defense that aren't playing the way they should.
Yep. I mean, Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans, I think, are
right.
Good enough to be at least in the discussion.
And they haven't had one on the field in Adoree Jackson, who at his best could be Pro Bowl caliber.
But that goes back to the discussion. That's like the same thing we were talking about with the Preds. Like, you got all this talent on the first two lines. Why can't people score? Okay, you've got all this individual talent, we think, on defense. Why is it not coming together? And that is when the coordinator spot comes back.
It's the court. I was going to say, what did Byers say? He said it. He said the word multiple times. All of it getting coordinated. You know, which again, I don't think Byers like trying to say help everyone. We need a defensive coordinator, but that's part of it. I also think when you listen to Byard talk about it, and Byard's going to be as honest as anybody in this locker room about stuff and talk openly as anyone. You know, he talks about guys being more detailed, talks about practice. I mean, I think I think he's frustrated probably with some of his teammates. I mean, that's how I have to take it. He would never say who, but frustrated with people not taking things as seriously as he does.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. And, I mean, you look at a guy like him who's been so used to playing on not elite defenses, but good defenses. I mean, the Titans' defense has been pretty good since he got here, and now it's absolutely atrocious. And this is the first time he's had to deal with something like that.
If you had the last four, just take the average of everything, of the last four defenses, his whole career, you know, middle-of-the-pack pass rush numbers, good third down, actually some great rush defenses in there earlier. But if you took all the average of all of it and you made it this year's defense, then they are a Super Bowl contender.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says they'll have to combine these to be a contender. From here on out, find a way to average 2 sacks a game, hold teams to 24 points a game, keep the turnover ratio roughly the same, and get 4 more third down stops a game. It's the best way to face less third downs is to end the drive sooner than they have so far this year.
Those are all probably pretty good numbers. But again, like, the question is how? How do you do that? 2 sacks a game sounds just ridiculous right now for this team.
It does. And in the grand scheme of things, 2 sacks a game, really not all that much.
It's doubling their pace.
Yeah, but it is doubling their pace right now, especially on that defensive front. And again, to the third down part of the discussion, can you imagine how different the defense would look right now if they got off the field like 4 more times a game? Like, how much of a difference would that make?
Yeah.
If they were just a bad third down defense, not a horrendous third down defense.
I mean, Sunday after they had that all-run drive, and they just, it's like down the field, like they could do this all day if they wanted. But when they did it, it was like, okay, how many stops are they going to somehow accident themselves into? You know, you already felt at that point like it's going to be a mistake by the Bengals or some, you know, a penalty or something to get them to stop the Bengals. And the fact that that's how it felt and that's how it played out against a offensive line full of replacements, it makes it hard to be optimistic about what they can do or what they are right now.
So we heard Orlovsky in the clip to open up the segment talking about comparing the Titans defense right now to what was going on in Kansas City last year and them just not being able to get off the field. And he mentioned the Titans don't have the playmakers on the back end to make a huge difference there. If Adoree Jackson comes back, does that change your viewpoint on that at all? Can he help in a way to get an extra 2 or 3 stops per game on third down and get off the field more often?
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring in Desmond King, you get Adoree Jackson back, you would think that you'd be able to do more aggressive stuff with the secondary that obviously they haven't been comfortable doing. I also think philosophically, that's sort of the idea, is make an offense earn its way down the field, don't give up the big play. But I got to think they can and will be more aggressive, and that'll help some.
And we've talked about maybe, you know, not playing as much soft zone coverage. You get Adoree Jackson back, Desmond King coming in. Do you think they press a little bit more and maybe aren't quite as afraid of getting beat over the top with guys that could come in and can run there? Because it's obvious Jonathan Joseph is terrified of getting beat over the top. And you understand why, but that's also at some point you got to make an adjustment to that if you're the Titans defense.
Yeah, I would think that it would make a difference for sure. You can play more man and you can match up with certain guys that you can take Adoree and you can say, because Malcolm Butler is a physical guy who against some matchups is a good, but he's not with Adoree. You can really, with any receiver in the league, feel like you got a chance with him. But again, I still go back to, if the quarterback has all day, he'll find something, you know. So I don't think it's the cure-all that some people probably do. I think certainly it'll help.
When we come back, it's that time of the week. Our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us. That's next. We'll get into all things NFL with him. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Inc. Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.